You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Laura Magdalene Eisenhower to the show. Laura is the great-granddaughter of former President Ike Eisenhower. She has recently become known for her interviews on www.exopolitics.com with Andrew Weber and with Andrew DiBiagio, due to her claim that some of the elite have approached her to travel to the existing Mars base to ride out the 2012 energies, which they must feel are threatening. She refused. Today, she is on a spiritual mission to bring divine union, Christ Sophia, to all planes of existence through an intense journey of the world's soul in order to harmonize male and female energies and balance humanity and nature. As a co-founder of Ascending Earth 2012, she works to return our cultural wisdom, renew the Earth's resources, and combat harmful global threats. She is also a clairvoyant counselor and natural healer, who has the will and passion to transform even the most lost and broken souls out of hell and misery in order to awaken their true self and spiritual path. Continuing both the Eisenhower and Magdalene legacies, she has battled dark hidden forces and agendas in order to protect humanity from larger global crises. Growing up around political leaders and influential people, Laura easily accessed the part of her nature that will not rest until global freedom, justice, and peace on Earth is established, as well as our reconnection with the vast universe, including all races, star systems, and dimensions. So let's welcome Laura to the show now. Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good tonight. You have had such an interesting life. It's beyond interesting. And it's not over yet either, is it?
No.
Now, how did your childhood support you in discovering your true nature?
Well, I guess, you know, any kid is connected to their true nature. But as far as what I was just sort of emerging into, what I was kind of up against, and what was going to be the conditions for me to really understand what I'm kind of here to do, there were a lot of triggering factors growing up, just being around the type of family that I was in, and just certain things that were coming at me that were beyond interest or wanting to do research. It was sort of something had found me that kind of uncovered an awareness of something that goes back thousands of years, really. And it just seemed to be an endless story that just showed up again, a little bit different this time around, but it's sort of this cycle connected to Venus to assist us in getting through this shift in the most positive way. That hit me at a very young age. And then the Ike factor, my connection with Ike, being very tuned into that and this other spiritual aspect of my being, helped me understand and prepare for this. And I just was I very in touch with it, and I couldn't communicate it to anybody. So I just wrote a lot and made sense out of it the best that I could until I was immersed in it completely and totally.
Huh. What were some of the difficulties that you faced along the way?
Well, let's see. Starting at about the age of 8, I felt a lot of the dreams I was having, a lot of the insights I was having, just it's like knowing like what you're in for is going to rattle you to the core, and you have to hold on to dear life for everything that is what your truth is and what, you know, it's nobody else's truth necessarily, but it's just holding on to the part of us that we don't compromise or give away to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was very much pulled, you know, yanked out from underneath me a number of times, and I just refused to let that happen. And as I fought to just hold on to my, I guess you could call it true nature, I just recognized, like, wow, this is, there's something going on here that is absolutely opposed to something that seems so natural or so in need of being expressed, you know, on this planet. You know, one can look back at history and realize that we haven't had that. And then when you're a child and you just are in touch with it naturally, there's a critical point where the programmings and belief systems and powers, you know, try and yank, you know, all that creativity and magic and insight and wisdom and everything that, you know, we're here to bring into the world, you know, tries to pull that away. And I just felt it very strongly. Part of, you know, just being from that family and just a lot of expectation due to that. And then just knowing that there is some sort of legacy that I was inheriting or certain agreements or decisions, insights that Ike had that had never been brought to fruition sort of landed on my lap, you know, connecting to the military-industrial complex. And I just felt that I had to resolve these things, bring them to fruition, create resolution, and take it all the way to where he intended, but also to what us as a people and a humanity would, you know, just really require for justice to be served, you know. And some of us are merged with those notions and that passion and desire to make that happen, and other people, you know, really aren't. And it was definitely obvious to me that that was what I was most called to do. And then it connected to the feminine energies and the goddess in exile and Magdalene and Sophia, which I didn't expect, but that all kind of came down the chute and sort of found me. And I'm like, wow. And then I could connect all the dots. I'm like, well, this is interesting. And as I've kind of grown up, I've been able to kind of piece it all together and make sense out of how myth and the esoteric and the more abstract natures of our soul really connect to our global crisis and politics and global elite and the archons and the lower alien races and all the agendas. So I sort of saw how these two forces were kind of merging in my space, where one seemed to be the problem and the other seemed to be the solution. Whereas the problem or the thing that was really getting to me was what I had to handle becoming president, and that all his ideals and his true nature of maybe, you know, just what he really represented to all of us got completely taken over by the presidency and the power structures that exist on layers that none of us can really see. Mm. And, you know, I could really recognize that pain that he went through, and my communication with him as a spirit was really profound, and I couldn't even believe it. But kind of like, okay, he was president, but there's in general, and yeah, that's great, and, you know, he did his best, and here's the great things he offered. But the deeper layers underneath it, connecting to ETs and connecting to these agendas, and, you know, the spillover from the Nazis and that whole kind of duel, you know, definitely hit me. And I just knew that I had to resolve it somehow. And that's where the Magdalene thing sort of came in, as the Sophia thing is a part of the missing link, not all of it. Something within us all that we're here to kind of awaken, just to illuminate the aspects that are lacking and deficient, just like anybody would do in a human body when they're not well. You know, what vitamin do you need to take? What's missing? What's the root of this? And so on those levels, I got in touch with that as well. Not just the political, but what's under the curtain of the curtain, you know, very behind the scenes, very deep, very hidden stuff in the roots of all of this. The ancient game, you know, starting from the beginning of time, Sumeria, and after that, just traced it all the way back and just really recall, you know, being a part of that or living through that, and carrying the same kind of code or mission that has been an endless mission of mine. I don't know. It's a mission of ours. I mean, this is definitely a dilemma that many of us are facing right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely not going to, like, ever lose. And that's part of a lot of the attack was, you know, kick one out of that awareness. And no matter how many times it knocked me down or tried to kill me, I just could never let go of, I guess, what I wrote as being true nature. It's just kind of all of our divine blueprint, our true essence, our real capabilities that we've been given away to other powers that are now dictating to us what we should fear, what we're capable of doing, you know, when our body tells us we're sick. And it's a lot of us don't know how to have that self-healing, self-generating ability anymore. And I just recognized a lot of that, you know, throughout school, taking science classes, microbiology, and just always having a backdrop of all these kind of other hidden things that you don't see every day that creating what we see today is a very deficient culture that seems to have all these solutions, but just end up taking our money and taking our power and our imagination and our creativity.
It does seem that there's a very dark agenda that those who have worked themselves up to the top of the pyramid are attempting to unfold, which does not include mankind's awakening. It's more or less a private escape plan for their own continuation, isn't it?
Yep, and that's sort of where I see the oil spill coming in. You know, we can see things as an accident, or maybe we read things or hear things that a part of it was planned, and then they thought they could contain it, then it got out of control. And then there's all these solutions and technologies out there that are all being ignored. They're all very repressed. We can't get any real answers. Truth keeps changing. And I see much deeper than that, that, you know, what are these off-planet agendas? I mean, there's so many agreements with, you know, alien races, not of the higher order, that do want to save us and are setting up backup plans that do not consider nature, do not consider Gaia, but actually are using technologies that mimic the creative forces of Gaia, and that also, you know, are trying to reenact it as an imitator rather than an originator, which puts us in this false matrix system that we're all aware of that is very much run by, we could call the global leader, the Illuminati, or just the ones that want the ultimate power. And, you know, we're being really robbed. And so coming from a non-fear-based position, I'm sort of, you know, helping us redirect our energy so that we're not being robbed and that justice happens and we kind of, you know, we can freak out because of this oil spill, and I'm sure we all have moments of the day, I certainly do, where it's so absolutely overwhelming it's hard to stay present. But, you know, I see it as another insult, like Plan F. You know, I've kind of lived through Plan A through E, but here's another one of, you know, well, let's just destroy the environment completely. We have off planet colonies. We have all these technologies that are hidden. They kind of have the universe in their hands to kind of go where they will with it, kind of leaving us in this beautiful planet that's slowly disintegrating into just mayhem and wounds and just how can one really regenerate? They're harming innocence. But where I stand is sort of this regenerative kind of personification of that force, in a sense, to remind us that, not to make it light or put any new agey metaphysical terms on it, but this planet is so powerful, and it bursts all these alien races. It bursts all these structures that have turned against the mother force and tried to set up their own system. So it can never, ever take over. It can never defeat and conquer nature, Gaia, or any of, you know, the cosmic love in the universe, but it'll certainly try and convince us that that's what it's capable of doing, but it can't.
Mm-hmm.
So as bad as it seems, I'm kind of here to... I'm weathering the storm, you know, just like everybody else, completely mangled by it all. But, you know, there's a part of my consciousness that will never, ever buy into the fact that we're defeated or in harm's way, maybe temporarily. But we've had many lifetimes, all of us, of death and, you know, torture and all sorts of things. So we can get through this, but it's certainly a testy, 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 testy time.
Mm-hmm.
It always is, isn't it?
Yes. But it seems in particular at this time because it's the closing of so many different periods at the same time. And there's so much at stake for us to wake up and, you know, finally step up to the plate and take our power back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yeah, because it's the system and it's, you know, we're living in the manifestation of those things having enough influence in the material world to, you know, get to our children, you know, affect our partnerships. I mean, nothing is set up to really promote our well-being and our harmony and, like, you know, the higher road. And so we have to be bold and revolutionary and warrior-like to just refuse its influence and, you know, start from whatever you want to call it, grassroots level, from ground up, and, you know, hope that some people that are normally funding the things that aren't working can actually turn their attention on the things that can actually get us out of this mess. Because the solutions are there. The majority of the attention has to go on that rather than, you know, wanting to believe in the lies because it's much easier because one's life is set up in complete and total kind of dependency on it. And you know, I did a lot of survival courses, wilderness courses, and a lot of things to kind of, and I've lived a certain lifestyle that has shown me, you know, how to kind of start from nothing and be continually at rock bottom and continue to survive. So I have that to offer. It's not like I'm living a cushy life sitting here, blah, blah, you know, like it's all right. Fine. I have not lived that kind of life. It doesn't matter what family I come from. I have stepped out of all of that. And, this mission and all of this is way more important to me. And it definitely cost me, some luxuries, but, it turned me into a survivor. And, so, I mean, I can cushion some of the falls that some people will take and some people will refuse, but it's down to our choices now. We don't have a collective destiny so much together as we have a collective need to share information and be more like a global family, and just assist one another. But we can't really change everybody, but we can certainly transform what's in our immediate environment and let it ripple out. And if enough of us do that, then it'll be plenty to affect thousands and thousands and millions, really. You know, you hear about core numbers. Well, if 144,000 awakened, everybody would feel the effect. And that's actually quite true, I believe. But it's not going to take that many of us, but all of us that are feeling that calling and feeling that nudge, you know, really do have to step up to the plate, because others, you know, they're going to feel the nudge. They won't even notice it. You know, it's like some are like the princess and the pea, and other ones, you know, can sleep on boulders and sleep just fine. With all the turmoil in the world, they sleep just fine, and they can be screwing you over, and they'll sleep just fine. And then there are some of us that can't sleep at all when something goes wrong, and we want to heal and help. So those people need to, you know, have support, because some are way too asleep to know the difference, and that's not their fault. It's just, as a global family, when somebody gets it, it becomes a responsibility. You know, you have to do something with it.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you first become aware of the Mars base and the plans to start over there and repopulate?
I didn't really know much about it until I was at the, well, like, I won't retell the story, but when I met the partner I was with, who later told me he was an agent, he was bringing up the Mars thing, and it got me curious, you know, how are we just going to go off in spaceships to Mars? There must be something there already. Tried to listen in on conversations. I started to research the people he was dealing with and talking to. And, you know, when I saw the technologies they were associated with and the groups they used to be in and the ET communication and technologies that they had, you know, and the groups that they were in and how it was connected to the, you know, the shadow government and, you know, those acronyms that we all know very well that we tend to not like to say out loud because they're watching us. I don't even care, but, you know, just for everybody else's protection, I'm not going to, you know, reveal too many of the names, but I definitely will off radio.
Right,
but
that's probably good idea.
Yeah. It's like, what did she just do? I just opened a... But anyway, I kind of, you know, I've let a little bit out here and there just enough, but my intuition kind of tells me when I should kind of hold back, depending on the, you know, phase we're in. But anyway, so these groups, I mean, I kind of traced it back to MJ-12. I did a lot of research and how it, you know, connects to a lot of the different encounters that some of the presidents were having with ETs and, you know, something that happened in 1971, dealing with Area 51, I believe it was, and you know, things going back in history all the way to ancient times. I mean, none of this is new, but we feel like it's new. These agreements are new because it's all in secrecy now, whereas before we had a lot more connection to our stars, you know. We weren't in such quarantine, which is a word that Alfred Weber uses in his book, how the Earth is in quarantine from the rest of the alien races. And, you know, we're kind of stuck in that mode, but then we're dealing with the lower races that are trying to manipulate us, kind of veiled from all the assistants and allies that are out there. And there were times, you know, I mean, think about all these ancient civilizations that used to be on Earth. You know, there were times that the mass population wasn't so in the dark, you know, given, you know, little toys, here's an iPhone, this and that, but we'll keep the Tesla technology and we'll keep the free energy and all that from you. We'll just, you know, throw you a new, you know, type of technology to make you think that we're all evolving. But no, we've been able to do things that we're time travel, all of that. Mm. And even beyond that, you know, we're able to access other worlds and walk through walls. I mean, there's abilities that are majorly being blocked. Not just from the government to the people, but between us and our own beings, you know, it's like we're lost from some of the capabilities we used to have. And, you know, and that's been intentional, of course. So when I was doing this research, I it was all connected to mind control, and there was things that had been funded through some of these scientists that were working on this Mars mission had been funded by those involved in MKUltra. And it just got weirder and weirder. And, you know, why is this some special thing that we're going to go off to this planet and receive this civilization? What about the rest of humanity, you know? What about this mission that I was born with that has always been so strong, and having a lifetime of being almost kicked out of it or harassed out of remembering it, or all this, you know, weird energy hitting my space constantly to try and make me forget or never be grounded or even barely able to function, that seemed to want to stop me from what I was here to do. It all sort of reached a point when I was being recruited. It's like, okay, I see how that connects to what my whole life has been about. And they admitted to me that they had targeted me through Akashic Records, remote viewing, and something about Project Looking Glass, and that, you know, they had their attention on me for a long time. And they, you know, a lot has been revealed to me from those places. And it was like, you know, and then they wanted to sort of say, well, we were just trying to be a catalyst so you could really do what you're here to do on Earth. And I didn't really buy that. Well, you would have let me, because there's nothing that was ever going to stop me. I didn't need a catalyst. I was born knowing it. You know, it's like anybody can talk their way out of anything. And there's ultimate forgiveness, and that's why I'm not here to be angry and you know, these are the bad guys or anything. But finally, when I did break free of this going to Mars and the harassment stopped, you know, I've been able to focus on my mission, or whatever you want to call it, here on Earth, of restoring, you know, the resources, regenerating, you know, oneness, awareness, unity, you know, all these subtle vibrational shifts that allow us to really ascend and reclaim all that's been lost. So I've been given the chance to call those energies back. But, I mean, so much was taken that it's not happening quick enough. And I always feel this panic, you know, in a race against time. And here's this oil spill, and it's just like I can't kind of keep up with it. And I'm sure a lot of us feel that way. It's sort of it's a constant onslaught. And the Sophia energy is so morphed into the Gaia physical body that, you know, different sound technologies and readers and people all throughout my life have shown me the connection and talked to me about it, even though I wasn't seeking it or needing that validation. It was sort of this knowingness that I had. Didn't need it proven, but it did end up getting proven from multiple sources just out of the blue, from strange documents people had received 20 years prior to meeting me that handed to me when they did meet me about my path and what I represent. And, you know, I kind of represent a unified field, so it's not, you know, exclusive to me, Laura. It's just sort of something that we're all kind of here to fight for and reclaim, that, you know, maybe the Eisenhower part of me is the part of me that's going to take a stand and make sure that I'm loud about it. But, I mean, that's the only part of it that might be exclusive, is that, you know, you can be loud about it. You're loud. You know who you are, okay? You know, I mean, we all have a voice, right? Mm-hmm. But something kind of out of the woodworks was kind of coming at me while everything else was trying to destroy it. So I was sort of locked between two worlds, one that was trying to kind of destroy all that I was here to do, and another, you know, one was coming from a whole other dimension that was saying, no, 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 you're here to do this, and this is, you know, don't ever lose that. And you know, and that was kind of my life. And I wasn't able to pursue a whole lot but trying to survive it. And now I kind of can take my breath and sort of tell the story. But, you know, back in the MJ-12 days, there was Alternative 3, which was to establish a Mars colony. And basically, because of the doom scenarios and the projections on 2012, none of the technologies, including Project Looking Glasses, have been able to predict anything after that time. So obviously, it's all projections, and it's screwing with the collective imagination and our creativity to say that this is what's coming. And so let's pour trillions of dollars into all these backup plans, you know, keep all these technologies from humanity, and then just save a few of us after we robbed, you know, this world of its resources, both spiritually and economically, you know, on every level. So I noticed all this, and I realized how long the Mars colony has been going around. Then I met Andy, who talked about being a childhood participant in Project Pegasus, and then everything started to make sense on that level, on the Mars colony level. But the first I heard of it was in 2006. But as far as how far back it goes in the development process, that could have been going on for a long time, because as we know, there's artifacts on there. The whole Cydonia thing and the face on Mars, and there have been all sorts of pyramid-type things found on it. But as far as, you know, maybe the reptilian agenda version of it and the one that really does enslave us, I'd say that's been going on. I think the process started around in the 1950s, but true manipulation of the presidents happened around the 1900s, where there's definite involvement off-planet. and a very deep, dark energy, you know, lies underneath that particular curtain or mask, being, you know, treating presidents as puppets. And, you know, that's why I probably suffered 8 heart attacks and had a very difficult time, because it wasn't like being a general where you're just being passionate and being a warrior. You become president, and it's like a whole other thing. And I know that he was not allowed to fulfill his vision, as a lot of us aren't in a particular lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I come in. It's like, okay, lay it on. I'll do my best. I don't even think I asked, but I mean, obviously I agreed to it.
It sounds like you're doing a terrific job. You know, half the battle seems to be just figuring out what it is you're here to do, and the fact that you said no, that you wanted to assist humanity, and rather than get on the, you know, on the ship and leave and desert it, that seems to be the kind of the pattern that those who think that they're gods follow, that everybody is expendable, and they take the very best for themselves, and they leave everything else to self-destruct. I had Andy on the show, just so people know, his name is Andrew Bajago, and he was one of the most interesting people, because he had experiences in the Black Projects with time travel and time manipulation. And he said that that was funded by the Vatican and by DARPA. And so it's a really fascinating story. And he said that we have technology now for free energy and for teleportation, and it's just all sitting there, you know, because it's being controlled and held back, and only the people at the top get to use that stuff. So there's also, I'm sure you know Stephen Greer from the Disclosure Project.
Yeah.
He seems to be working towards disclosure about the ET presence and about bringing free energy out in a way that will not completely destroy the economy and the status quo. So there is hope around the corner, and there are lots of projects that, you know, are just kind of on the edges waiting to come out at the right moment.
Absolutely.
Now, it seems like when that, we don't know what that right moment will be, but it definitely, the people who have a dark agenda need to, somehow that needs to be corrected or removed.
Yep. And that's the thing, when these things, you know, come out, the exposure, you know, one can see it as kind of like a light that shines on all that's been hidden. And, you know, once everything is exposed, they only have one way to go, either to transform and kind of, you know, just completely shift, and or to, you know, have to take it somewhere else and really just enter a whole different dimensional plane that doesn't allow one. It's self-induced prison, really. It's like, you know, there's a certain structure that we're dealing with, but around 2012, a lot of that is going to be busted free, and we are going to be really riding energy streams that connect us, who we really are and what nature has been. You can, you know, some people call it karma, judgment day. I call it justice day, because, you know, the natural cycle of things, without there being any punishing God or it's up to some being, you know, you look at the events from the beginning of time, we see how nature works, and everything, when not being distracted or corrupted, is a natural healer. I mean, the minute we cut ourselves, our bodies know to heal. The minute the earth is wounded, it knows how to fix itself. It knows how to put, you know, deal with a trunk being cut. It heals itself. It has, that's a natural process that nothing can really stop. But with continual onslaught and abuse and attack, you know, it's like it doesn't give it a chance enough to regenerate. And so this exposure is going to put all that on halt. And when they get kind of like out of there for a little while, you know, the regeneration process is going to accelerate to such a huge degree. And as long as they're still kind of getting away with things behind the scenes and creating continual illusions using things like ARP and all these technologies to create disasters and, you know, really make us ungrounded and freaked out, you know, no real solutions when there's plenty of solutions and we all know that technology exists, you know, that exposure is going to, you know, bust them. And when that distraction's over, everything's going to really regenerate. I mean, I know that. It's just the distractions need to go. This constant, every day, something new in the news, some breaking news, some new disaster, some new meltdown, doesn't give us a chance to step back and actually supply this planet with the vibration that can restore it. And it's as easy as that, just like a human body. You remove the cigarettes, you remove the lifestyle, you remove the threat for long enough, and the body naturally heals it. It doesn't take much effort if it can just put away the danger and the threat.
That's right. And, of course, some of the threats include genetically modified food now and some of the nanotechnology that's going on. And I think you mentioned the chemtrails as well, but those are all things that are designed to throw us off and keep us off balance. So one thing I heard said about 2012 was that it might be a time when there will be a breaking up of timelines. In other words, that there may be one timeline or two timelines or three timelines that go in different directions. Have you heard that anywhere at all in your studies or research?
Yeah, well, see, I haven't done a lot of study and research. It's more everything has been kind of about survival and having the ability to have those kind of visions to get a sense of where I'm headed and how I can kind of stay on the time. I wouldn't call it really a timeline, maybe for now it is, but I've had to stay very connected to what I consider a natural stargate based on the Venus transit. The whole thing is connected to Venus, and the whole path of the feminine energies have been, you know, like the morning and evening star, similar to the Christ path of going into the underworld, kind of dying, resurrecting, and doing all this kind of global alchemy to kind of keep this weaving happening through multi-dimensions so that when the stargate opens, it acts as a bridge to the higher world. And it's a bridge that can bring in the higher realms, anchor it on Earth, and if it's still too hostile here, it's a gateway that we can walk through. And I've been very, very aligned with that, and the reason I haven't been able to read or do much research is because just walking my path alone has given me so much information just, you know, just intuitively and from all these different angles and all these symbols and all these signs and all this information that came to me from others about what I'm here to do that I've been so immersed in it. And then I, you know, maybe flip through something and read something later and I say, yep, that's it. But I can never really read anything. I can only agree with it or say, well, that's not quite how I see it. It doesn't mean it's wrong. But I very much see this a similar thing where 2012 is this moment where all these different avenues are available to us, you know, based on wherever we've initiated ourselves into, how much we, you know, are compatible with a certain aspect of a frequency, you know. It's like you can't, and I'm kind of repeating myself, but you can't put a lower entity in heaven, not because it's judged, because it just doesn't vibrate at that level.
Right.
It's not about judgment like you were bad. It's like they've lowered themselves to a lower density by simply being unethical, having no morals, having no concern for their fellow human, and that's just a low vibration. So it attracts whatever timeline that they're entering is based on who and how they've been. Doesn't mean they can't transform, but it's just the law of attraction. You know, those of us who have, you know, really just wanted, you know, global healing and really only function well in harmony and bliss, we're going to go home to that, you know. But we don't have to be neighbors to the hostile ones and the ones that, you know, can't stand, you know, that energy around them without wanting to destroy it or feeling just so stuck in their ego nature that they'd rather have control over it, even if it means destroying the environment. It's pure power, and that's what some call the patriarch, but I always see it, men and women are responsible for patriarchy, not just men. It might be a male system because it seems, you know, very much those archetypal stereotypes, but it's very much a choice that a lot of people have made to just want power, and to put the dollar as way more important than hungry children being fed and, you know, all the things that those with a heart can't even stomach on a day-to-day basis.
Well, no, you do a lot of work with the divine feminine. Do you feel that the patriarchal energies are starting to break apart now to some extent and that the divine feminine is going to be energetically balancing of the planet to a greater extent in the near future?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I kind of, I mean, that's all that I kind of, I mean, I wouldn't, I'm not kind of using that title for myself, but that's, I'm so immersed with it on a cosmic level, not so much you know, the physical form or the physical expression of, oh, I'm so divine, but it's like there's a current of divine energy that is totally the mother energy, source energy, Sophia energy, that is always available and always there. And, you know, my physical being and my conscious being have no separation from that, even if I've tried, and believe me, I've tried to just get away from it as well-intentioned as it is. When you're dealing with bushwhacking through the most hellacious hell regions, sometimes you're just like, just get me out of here for a little bit, and there's just no way. So Venus-Pluto thing in my whole chart is so Libra and all Libra that balancing act and that concept of sacred union is really just, it's like, it's a life or death thing for me. It's so embedded in my soul and in my past lives and my connection to, and I see that in everybody. I mean, I see that we all carry that. It's just extremely loud in me to the point of very uncomfortable at times. And so I do see that. As far as where the patriarch is now, I know that its power is dwindling on so many other levels that I almost, oil spill is a last resort. You know, it's like so many of us are awakening. They can't kill people off like they used to. You know, we're now able to talk about alien agendas without being, you know, having them come and, you know, kill our family. I mean, and that has happened in the past, and a lot of us, you know, take huge risks when we come out with this information. But the great thing is, so many of us we're all awakening it to all at once that you can't really get away with, you can't really destroy it at this point. So, okay, well, what do they do now? Well, we can, you know, destroy very important parts of the Gaia being, and, you know, they already have manipulated the vortex, the ley lines, and different energy points that are very much the creative energy of this planet, in order to take control of it. So I'm not trying to say that the oil spill is a patriarchal move and it's a global elite thing, but I swear sometimes I look way deep underneath it all, and I feel that intensely. And, you know, I just fight against it energetically between me, myself, and it. Not anything I write about, but it's a constant dialogue day and night of just, you know, there's something that I'm somewhat in communication with that does want to destroy this planet, does want to take over, you know, the feminine energies. That aren't really even feminine. I mean, it's sort of sexless. We're talking like the infinite oneness that, you know, births everything. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily male or female. The reason it translates as divine feminine is because when we look throughout history, that is something that's been misunderstood. The stories and the embodiments of it have been, you know, very much thrown out of our awareness and replaced by, you know, different things that just don't give the feminine much expression on a spiritual level. And, you know, females have sabotaged that part of themselves, too. And it's a collective agreement to wake up. It's not anybody's fault or blame, but, you know, you can't point fingers if you're repressing it within yourself. And okay. And men, of course, carry the feminine energies, too. So it's what I see is that we're all really going to get in touch with that and what it means. And it's not just, you know, a glowy, shiny, spiritual, feminine energy thing. It's about creativity, fertility, restoration, you know, nurturing, rebuilding, you know, this planet from the ground up. And sure, it has a maternal vibration to it, but it takes the masculine warrior to be able to implement it. And this is where divine union and sacred union and the male and female have to work together. The only attention I put on the divine feminine is that the Magdalene energy is so strong in me and the Sophia energy, and it's basically been buried alive. So it's sort of like, oh, I'll give it a little bit of attention and just kind of remind people it's there. And then once that's established, okay, let's harmonize, let's balance, and, you know, bring it all back into, you know, restoring the tree of life and bringing all these myths and all these stories into a place of complete and total awareness, so that we're not just functioning from one side of our brain, logic and reason and science and physics, but there's actually a story behind it that we can all connect to. And that's what movies are made of. You know, there's always a villain, there's always a battle between good and evil, and there's always, you know, a love story that triumphs. You know, it's the love of one's life, and that's heaven on earth. And that's, you know, the nature in us that needs our bliss being, needs our bliss body, needs love, needs connection. So that always wins. But in those periods where it's lacking, even the person, even us individually, deal with the shadow side of ourselves. And so on a much larger level on this globe, it's very much a similar story of what anybody goes through when they're separated from love and they're battling, you know, authority and parents. And so, you know, there is this structure, but it's completely trumped by the power of love, and that part of the story is where, you know, we choose to reconnect with our divine nature and, you know, treat the opposite sex with a hell of a lot more respect and give ourselves self-respect, because if we don't do that first, then, you know, who's going to want to take us seriously? Or at least it's harder. I mean, people can be really good, they can be really good at deceiving and acting like a certain way, but that expires along with these power gains and these power structures that we're pulling out of.
Mm-hmm.
And what is left is the core, and that's where we're headed.
The movie Avatar kind of expressed what you were just saying in a kind of in a very beautiful way for our times.
Yeah, that movie.
The movie Avatar?
Yes.
It just seemed to capture the essence of what you were talking about so well.
Right. And it's so true. So, you know, I always kind of look to that, because if I lose the story, then I just get caught up in the chaos, and then I just remember, you know, when we cling to the love and we cling to the just the focus of what it really means to be doing the right thing on an everyday basis,
mm-hmm.
then obviously it's going to reach a certain point. I mean, we plant seeds all the time. We can't just snap our fingers and make something happen. But we can't plant seeds and just walk away. I mean, they need to be watered. Soil needs to be nurtured. We need to understand that even if it's at a certain stage and it's not in full bloom, that it's going to get there. And that's what 2012 represents to me, too. It's like it's a natural blossoming, and it's a seed that's been planted a long, long time ago. And my path, particularly, you know, is all about nurturing that seed, even planting that seed, going into the underworld consciously and saying, you know, I'm going to put this vibration there, and eventually it'll grow. And, you know, people can just, like, find it within and look to it for strength. And it doesn't, you know, not me, but the energy of it. And, you know, we're all kind of co-creating that together. Anytime we face adversity and we choose to, you know, allow ourselves to continue to dream and not be defeated, it's that will that we carry that makes us survivors and makes us still functioning, because none of us would still be here today if we weren't strong. I mean, the grief would swallow us up, you know. We've witnessed so much catastrophe and trauma, and, you know, the fact that any of us can stand here and still believe in the vision just shows that it's unbreakable. And it's unbreakable with me, even though at times I have nothing but anger and rage.
Yeah. Well, I can't say that I blame you or anybody else for having those feelings and letting them up. You must feel that you have assistance from a guide, a team, or higher spiritual authorities to have gone through so much and come through the other side of it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's all I could really... It's the only validation I ever had was this communication with spirit and some of the dreams I had. My dreams really did save me, particularly from this Mars thing. It was in the first article that Alfred Weber and Examiner.com expressed about, you know, dreaming that I was taken up into the ship and I had a choice, and then I fell back into the water and all this alignment happened. And then I woke up and I told, you know, my partner, and he was just like, whoa, you shouldn't have told me that, because at that point he hadn't told me he was an agent yet. But yet my dream had told me I would be facing these agents who were going to take me off planet, and that I had a choice and that I would have to break free. And, you know, dreams and just knowing, you know, just connecting with something that just, it's like the connection was so strong that there is no other bond that could be formed that could lead me astray. The minute I heard the word bond, I was like, I'm not going, you know, that's just all there is. And I was standing by that. And, you know, I considered it, as long as I had a voice and I could have the support that I needed to work on my Earth mission, then maybe I consider it, but it would have to be something that humanity is in on. It's not some secret. It's not for some special. Yeah. It's like, I don't, you know, I put spirit in our soul way beyond genetics. And any tribe or group of people or country or nation or race that makes their superior, that makes no sense to me, because it's your spirit and it's your nature and it's the goodness in you, you know, that doesn't make you superior, but it makes you powerful on a healing level and on a level that actually makes a difference in this world. You know, survival of the fittest is a total scam. I mean, of what? You know, strong people walking around fighting wars and being evil? Like, who cares?
Crazy.
You know?
Crazy. It's insane. It's insane, and it just seems to all be set up just to keep the same old paradigms in place. And, you know, it's gotten even worse in my lifetime, you know, seeing that now we're in a constant state of terror and war, and we've got several wars going on at the same time. Well, those kinds of experiences have to be healed and stopped, and I think the only thing that's going to do that is, like we were talking about, is the higher vibration that will reveal that the wars and killing are negative lower vibration, aspects, and they're not going to be possible in a higher vibrating world.
Right, absolutely. So that's all, you know, going to fall off the map as long as we don't get sucked into it. I mean, it doesn't mean that we can't have a bad day or feel, you know, real grief about it or anger or this and that, but, you know, it's built into many of us that we're not going to let it drag us down, and obviously we're not going to, you know, join in on it. That it's very important to help activate everybody to feel that they can step into that. A lot of people don't feel worthy of themselves or their higher nature, or they feel they can't give them permission because it's easier to feel guilty and it's easier to feel angry than to just say, I feel bliss even though I just saw something horrific on the news. And that's where we, you know, kind of struggle. At least that's where I struggle. It's like, you know, it's hard to just continue in a blissful, having a great day. It's like, you know, of course we want to do something. And so the point is to make fun out of the work we have to do, the work of restoration. We have to feed with a lot of positivity and not give away our bliss, nature, our happiness, our joy in the cleanup process, because the lower alien races actually manipulate emotions and manipulate our perceptions because they know how powerful we are as dreamers and creators. Uh-huh. And if they can feed our brains to make us negative and fearful, then they've almost won half the battle, because the rest is just the reflection and the illusion of what we collectively carry as a collective vibration. So, you know, what we're seeing right now in the world is imbalance. We're seeing disaster, but it really is a metaphor for the inner conditions and just in the way that we all are relating and connecting. I mean, even on Facebook, you think it'd be all friendly, you know. You leave a nice philosophical update, you know, to try and lift some skirts and stuff that comes along and wants to rip you to shreds. So, you know, people are just wired for that. But, yeah, if we kind of bypass it and just do the work we have to do, because we can't, you know, dream our way out of this necessarily. But I'm definitely one, and I was telling my friend that I'm ready to meet and be face-to-face with any of these people at any time. The ones that screwed me over, the ones that are behind all this. You know, I'm ready to knock down the doors of any building I need to. And I just feel bold like that. I don't, you know, maybe not the wisest thing, but there's nothing holding me back. They don't scare me. It's you know, they're just cowards that are trying to terrorize us from the inside out.
So. Yeah, isn't that funny how it's often the weakest people that are the most terrifying, you know, because they're actually afraid of you. And so in order to get a handle on their own fears, they have to be much more horrible and do such horrible things. What do you think we can do as individuals to create balance within?
I think just, you know, I mean, it's hard because we carry a lot of ancestral patterns. You know, our childhoods really affect us. We might have experienced difficult relationships. And it's very hard to just all of a sudden find that connection, because not just is this world in a level of programming, our individual lives, we see a lot that defies even our own having government and control of our own existence, just in our personal relationships and how our families feel. So there's no true sanctuary to return to if one's had a tumultuous time. So for those who have really gone through hell and back on a micro level within their own family and relationships, that those are the hardest to help find balance. But you know, there's a level of detachment one has to have. There's all sorts of things that one can do to kind of be more of an observer than one that's in it, and to remind oneself that if you've really created a lot of adversity in your life, or you were born into a lot of adversity, or you've been in situations that are absolutely traumatizing and hellacious, you know, to just remember what a warrior you are, because if you're willing to go into the thick of it, you're also willing to, you know, assist in transforming it. And if we can keep ourselves from getting lost, and remember that we're actually there to be a catalyzing force. You know how that usually catalyzes us to awaken. We're also giving it, you know, that yin yang. You know that burst of energy that helps it find that spark within to get over all those issues. You know, war and all this evil is really created over very immature issues that you know happen in one's childhood and happens. You know, I mean, why does somebody lose it? So. You know, the ancient game and the roots of all the stuff that's going on in the world, you know, I understand the roots of it as far as that goes, and how they use people, how they manipulate people, how they mind control people. And the best thing that we can do to find balance is to not only be aware of it, but know that our spirit is so much more powerful that it can actually deactivate these things. And if we really consciously, whether it be, you know, just not being taken down that road, stopping myself and being aware. I mean, because I witnessed this with my partner who was mind controlled, and I tried to help him. You know, I got magnets and I got Oregon and anything that I could do to just help deactivate him. But the same frequencies were hitting me, but I was, like, more allergic to it. I wouldn't allow it into my being. I would, like, scream it away from me. I would get really angry, and I was, like, always wrestling with like, evil forces. Like, there was no way I was going to let them into my body, but I certainly tried, you know, for years and years and years. So I just decided to not inhabit my body until, like, I exhausted them, and then I got in. So, to answer your question, I know I'm kind of beating around the bush. So somebody, myself, has gone through war after war after war, death, resurrection, you name it. You know, being a Libra whose gift is balance, you know, I got more Libra than anything else. The way I find balance is in stillness and silence and total detachment. Just pull yourself out of it. Find that breath and just focus on that for long enough to condition yourself to be able to go back into it and not be of it or a part of it, but just, you know, be senior to it so that you can start to give it a sense of you that it can come into harmony and balance. It's kind of like a tug of war until somebody gives in. And to just be so strong to not be the one who gives in. And if you fail, you fail. It's just like somebody who's an alcoholic. Hey, they might slip and have a drink. Big deal. Forgive yourself. Try again. Don't give up. You know? None of us, we all have a failure. I mean, there's a part of us that, I mean, who wants to be perfect anyway? We do our best, but it's about being conscious of it and being aware of it is really going to help us come into balance. And having others around us that know these games that can be supportive, you know? I mean, that's what people who get abducted, I just think it's being on shows like this and having us all, you know, talk to one another and sharing stories, relieving the burden of the inner struggle that we think that we might be alone in. When we realize we're not so alone, it helps us find balance because we don't feel like a victim or being, like I called myself today, a cosmic pinata. I mean, I feel like, you know, every time I get grounded, something comes along and whacks me again. And I'm down on the ground and I'm just like bleeding to death and I have to get back up. Yeah. And that doesn't feel very balanced, but the point is I can get back up. We just have to help each other get back up.
Yeah. I have a question for you that pertains to the, Agent X who was trying to get you to go to Mars. Were you ever told what the time, when that was going to occur? In other words, was there a scheduled date or a period of time when everybody that was involved with that project would be leaving for there? And also, how do they get there? Do they have back-engineered ships?
They're pretty, the ships were, I'm not going to get into the technologies, how much, I have a lot of it written down. I've saved all my emails, that can be looked into later, but, you know, a lot of it is the technologies that we're talking about that are hidden. We're not,
Right.
A lot of things I sort of pulled together, those that were recruited, and the technologies that these folks were using are very much technologies that, allow them a certain level of control that are ET technologies. The target date, I got an email that I look back on in 2005 or 2006, but the target date was 2012, and that, you know, we have this long to get this together. But the target date 2012, and I have that saved email, so for the record, I can easily, you know, show that. And they also talked about the Project Looking Glass that said that nothing could be predicted after 2012. There's a disturbance in the field, and they seem to acknowledge a lot of the global elite stuff. But what I noticed about this group is that the ringleader of those agents that were trying to recruit people were scientists that connected to MKUltra, mind control technologies, and things, you know, back in the 70s that were very much connected to global elite stuff. So what, did they have some sort of transformation and then, oh, let's just grab a few and go to Mars? I mean, isn't that just as elitist? So I don't like to label these people, but they're certainly been associated with them. Then I found out the groups that I was with the groups that wanted to recruit me, they connected themselves to MJ-12 somehow. And the target date was 2012. And they've gone through a lot of different changes. You know, it's a mixed bag. I've talked to a lot of them since I've come out with my story. They've kind of tried to befriend me and sort of, they even said, okay, we're going to follow you now. We're not going to repress you anymore. It's almost like they admitted everything that I've been talking about. And like I said, I save all my emails. So I'm not just saying this because it sounds nice. But I mean, I have all the backup based on everything that I've been telling you. They're just sort of like even saying that these agents and these intels are smarter than you think, and they knew that I would turn around and bite them and expose them. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I just get all these really bizarre emails, you know, from these people, and it's very hard to figure out. But I did get, yeah, a confirmation that the Mars trip was the target date 2012, and that there was, and then, you know, through Andy and all that we pieced together, that there's been a colony in the works there for quite some time.
Oh, yes, yes, apparently there is. Underneath the Earth, there's a base, which, according to Andy, there were several different races that were living there at the time. So, well, you are doing an incredible job of bringing enlightenment and truth and integrity and just your warrior battle self into this time that we're in. And I just want to thank you for all the work that you do. And I know that this hasn't been an easy path for you. I just sense that about it. Do you have a website where people can find out more about your work and maybe get involved in some way?
Yeah, sure. It's a Cosmic, C-O-S-M-I-C, Gaia, G-A-I-A, 2012.com. And it's really to just empower the fact that Gaia is a cosmic being, multidimensional, and there's all sorts of stargates and things opening up, and you know, my path is about being merged with the positive timeline, and that's what it's really about, is to just really stay strong so that we're dreaming and creating our way out of this while also tackling the problems that are in front of us. So, yeah, check it out.
It's a fascinating read. I read all of your information and what you've been through, and it was just, some of it was heartbreaking, and some of it is very enlightening and very moving. It was a beautifully written site. And do you mind if I mention Kelia's site as well?
Yes, please do.
Because she validates everything that you mentioned today in our show, and she's quite a beautiful spiritual person. And her website is 2012goddesscosmos.com. And there's a lot of information there that's very, very clear and very important to understand in terms of what's going on today.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, well, Laura, it's been a treat having you on. I'm just delighted to talk to you and to meet you. And I wish you the best of luck in the near future, and hopefully we'll all be going out that portal together.
Oh, we will. I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Me too. This is getting to be a bit much now. All right. Thanks a lot, Laura.
Thanks for
good night.
Me.
And good
okay,
good night to the audience, too.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.